Here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. The text still reeling from that Jim Rome sports minute as he threw it to break, talking about it being the most Cowboys offseason ever. I have no idea what he meant by that either, by the way, text. So we'll suffer through that and wonder. I was like, man, did something break with the Cowboys here? Yeah. What's Jim Rome reacting to? General at your service. There's Broadus. Lucius Alexander's in the pimp cup over there. Master Control here, 75 and fits you. Woolchuck is in the house. Chiafalo still on morning show duty. Salute to the chief, killing it there with RJ and Bobby. And of course, you have Carter Freeman coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. He zeroed in on you over here on the big screen, Brian.
I was wondering why Carter unfortunately has me on the big screen here.
It's a one shot.
Since we've been back, that TV has not worked. And then I looked up and saw me just kind of in the middle of it. And
I think the people want more Brian.
I think they kind of need to get the four box thing working here with all the teammates and all that. They're off and running, by the way, in Germany. The three Lions and the Dutch are going at it. So
let's go, Dutch.
This will be a fun day today for some soccer action.
It will, yes. And salute to Argentina for getting the win last night, advancing to the Copa America final. And salute to the Rangers.
Look at Carter. He got it even closer. What is going on?
He'll
here?
Show you. Yeah. You know, try to tell him how to do his
exactly.
job.
Exactly.
Go bleep yourself there, Broadus.
Or enjoy Ranger vibes. You know, another win. How much are they rebuilding your confidence now with Adolis Garcia hitting the game-winning solo shot there in the eighth inning? You know, they were walking Seager. You needed somebody to step up there. And you get it from the guy who's been hitting under 200 since May 1st.
Mm-hmm.
He's going full Rugie on us.
Yeah.
But last night we either got a reprieve or it's a turning point, and that along with other things, you know, has me thinking it's the longest win streak of the season, Brian. Why not?
Yeah, and it needs to continue on tonight. Find a way. I was really happy that they found a way. That old Hoppy, that catcher for them, he's a killer. I mean,
the Rangers have been getting killed by catchers all year long.
All year long, and so, but yeah, and good for them. The Rangers had a lot of problems. I think their record was like 3-39 or something in games where they were losing. After the seventh inning or tied.
Well, they pulled off two wins in the last week now.
I know.
Isn't that amazing?
Which is amazing for them to be able to do that. So, hey, anytime now you can get the game to Robertson, you know, and that crew as they close it out is a good way to go. So, just got to keep winning, and then you find a way, and maybe you keep it going against the Astros. You know, I've started watching the other divisions. I'm Mariners at the Padres, and you know, you're kind of thinking, okay,
scoreboard watching.
I think that Jared kind of got me going on this. It's like, hey, they've got to win 60% of these games.
They do.
They've got to figure out, and it's going to have to be winning the division though.
Two games back of the Strohs. You're five and a half back because the M's did get themselves a win, but Josh Smith keeps playing great. Adolis just kind of seems like he's the spark plug. When he starts getting going, all of a sudden it seems like everything else has fallen into place. You'll get, you know, Derek Hill gets a couple of hits for you at the bottom of the lineup, right? And Marcus Semien is starting to come up and produce with some timely hits where he had struggled for 6 weeks. It was just a bad stretch. To have him start to get out of that at the top leadoff spot, I mean, that's crucial. But really, it seems like if Dolly's on, this team is going to produce something offensively.
Yeah, and they need it. You know, they really do. They've kind of gone the way that he has gone. The homer last night reminded me of when he was at the peak of his powers. World Series game one, coming off ALCS MVP, an incredible run that Dolis was on. And in April, he was good, and it allowed it to appear like the Rangers weren't going to miss a beat there for the first couple weeks of the season. But as he has cooled off in a major way, I think that was just his fourth hit in the month of July. Last night, but he barreled up a number of balls.
Yeah,
like there was another one that had an exit velo triple digits. Josh Smith was awesome, 3-for-3. Bang Bang had another RBI. He did go 0-for-3 in his debut there in the cleanup spot, but it's exciting to see Langford, just a year after getting drafted, you know, in such a powerful spot for the defending champs And I think the story arc is definitely turning there to, hey, you got what you were hoping for when you saw him in spring training. Scherzer was pretty good, other than the two long balls, four runs and six and two thirds. I would say Scherzer's as good as at any point we saw him last year. Man, I mean, this is a reason to believe.
Every start that he's had since coming back, he's looked good.
Yeah, I think the thing, if you were listening to Bruce Bochy on with the Midday guys, you know, he was. They asked him about the one thing that you took away from last night, and Boats, without any hesitation, said how he competes.
Yeah.
You know, and he, maybe he's to the point in time in his career, it's just about winning. It's not about ERA or how it looks. It's going out there and battling and finding a way to give your team an opportunity to win. You know, like I said, though, if he, you know, these guys keep pitching into this, you know, seventh inning or so, and they could figure out the, you know, Urania, Leclerc, whoever's pitching that eighth or the seventh, and then it gets them into Robinson and Yates into the ninth, they're going to keep winning games. Because it's like Scherzer has been, though, outstanding. And I think, like I say, it's because of how competitive he really is.
They'll go for the sweep tonight. It is a 8 o'clock pregame with Lorenzen against Canning there here on your home of the Rangers. 8:38 first pitch. And then they'll get tomorrow off, and they will take on the Houston Astros for three. And at this point with the Astros, it doesn't matter like how either team is playing. They're still that team that's been in a dynasty and has owned this division, you know. And the Rangers, you know, winning the World Series last year, winning in such dramatic fashion in the ALCS was a triumphant moment. But I still think until it's resolved, you know, you expect another really hard-fought series. Nothing going to be easy against the Houston Astros. And they have been playing better here over the last month or so. Okay, can we get that Max Scherzer cut, Lucius? How's a Pimp Cup over there? On a Wednesday, he was on with AJ Pierzynski's podcast or TV show.
Yeah, Foul Territory,
and he was asked about possibly, we got a Gold Netherlands.
Yeah,
about
in the seventh minute. Yep,
his desire to possibly waive his no trade clause to try to jump to another World Series contender. Here's Scherzer.
You know, trades. Your name has come up as trade bait again. You wouldn't waive your no trade again, would you? I know you guys are playing better, but let's say things don't continue to go up. Would you waive your no trade again? Would it be three times in 4 years?
Yeah, I'm not going to do that, but I just don't think I even have to think about that. I think we're going to play better baseball, and it's going to be even a moot point to even talk about. So I think we're going to win here.
Yeah, I like the confidence. I don't think he's waffling at all. You know, I don't think he would change his mind. Obviously, if you go on a 10-game losing streak coming out of the All-Star break, those things can happen. But that's just another sign of confidence from a guy that's been there. You know, last year he was not showing confidence that he needed to stay put. He wanted to get out of the Mets. You know, he knew that thing was going the wrong way quickly. And he knows, you know, how much potential is on this team. And, you know, it's been one of the biggest underachievers in all the big leagues. So it's good to get that vote of confidence there from, you know, a champion like Scherzer. Okay, Cowboy stuff. Trayvon Diggs posted a good beach workout video of him, or sand workout. I don't know if he was actually at a beach or it was just like a sand pit. But he's breaking down and changing direction and all that, looking pretty good over there. And, you know, we'll see here in just a couple of weeks what he is ready for when it comes to actual live reps. But big key for this Cowboys season is, you know, him and Deron Bland being able to, you know, not only play great corner, but, you know, get the kind of turnovers that can make up for maybe a lack of depth, maybe a lack of run defense still. So we'll see what he's got here. And again, Broaddus is going to be in Oxnard for the entire training camp. We're excited that he's going to be bringing you that content every afternoon. I guess early in the show, practice will be going on. So you'll be watching practice.
Yeah, I will be. I'll have a live mic out there on the field and taking your guys' questions and kind of trying to paint the picture of what we're seeing out on the field. And then the opportunity from the tennis courts to do the full show with you. And then maybe somebody will stop by and we get a player or two or a coach or two, somebody I can rustle up, and we'll have some fun during the show of having some good Cowboy content. Also keeping an eye on the Rangers and how that's going as the Mavs and Stars as well.
Yeah, well, the trade deadline going on again when we're out there.
Yeah.
And right now it's kind of seeming like I don't think you're going to be sellers. I think you might be buyers.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to some guys around the league in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
And they felt like that the Rangers – if they had to bet right now, are going to be sellers. That's what they, that's
their, yeah, that's what the execs were saying to Nightingale.
Yeah. And so to me, I, you know, we have CY on. I think CY has been really good with us every Monday. And, you know, I think he's honestly evaluating where his team's at. I think he does like his team. Bruce said it earlier today, though. Bruce Bochy said, you know, getting some of these injured players back are like making additions at the trade deadline. You know, you're getting healthier bodies back and some bodies you know. So maybe that's maybe that'll be their way. But there's some executives that really do believe. I know a couple of guys I talked to said they feel like that the Rangers would be sellers this trade deadline. So we'll see if that if their analysis of this team is actually right.
Yeah, I could see it, you know, but with the winning going on right now, yeah. at this point, it would surprise me. Yeah. You know?
It would, me too.
Yeah. I would absolutely be able to believe they're not going to be buyers, you know, because it's going to take such a perfect a candidate to want to add to this team that can help you that's not going to significantly make your payroll go up.
It would be very a controllable bullpen arm. I think is what it, because you've got two guys in Yates and Robertson that are expiring after this year. Maybe you're able to get a long-term deal done with one of them or just an extension. But I think if they were to see, hey, there's a lefty or somebody that I've got 2 years of control in the bullpen, maybe that's somebody that you make a move for to kind of fortify that thing. And I've also got them under contract moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, I you know, I was listening to Mike talk about and Corey and those guys talk about AJ Puck. From the Marlins would be a guy. He's 6'7".
He used to be within the ALS.
Yeah, he was with
the
A's. Yeah, a long time A. And I asked my general manager buddy in the league, I said, hey, is he worth it on a trade? And he said, yeah, he's absolutely worth it, but he'll be expensive as hell. Hmm. And I said, well, okay, is it like what they gave up for Chapman? And he goes, yes. Hmm. So, you know, if you're going for a guy like that, it's going to be, you know, you're going to have to pay a pretty high price to go out and get a guy like that.
Well, that's where the Rangers should be. I mean, Langford playing well, you know, obviously Seager swinging a hot bat. He got walked twice last night, and Young coming back.
Yeah.
This thing is likely about to get explosive, and I believe over the next 6 weeks, we're going to see it evolve back into one of the absolute best rosters in all of Major League Baseball. Get us excited. And if Ray Davis wants to cheapskate his way through a trade deadline and sell any of these guys, I'll raise hell right here on these airwaves. Don't do it, Ray. Okay? I mean, don't be ridiculous. Come on, dude. You got billions and billions of dollars.
Yeah, billions. But yeah, billions. Mally had another good rehab start, so you got another arm that's going to be coming back. And then DeGrom is throwing bullpens, man.
Is there any Mav stuff going on? I saw a little recruiting for Spencer Dinwiddie happening, and people are talking about it. Theo Pinson was on his podcast. I'd like to see it. You know, I don't know if there's enough minutes in the rotation right now for Spencer Dinwiddie, but if he's at a point in his career and he's unsigned right now that nobody wants to make him a starter or a big member of a rotation because of how last year went, and he'd be like, yeah, I'd love to come in, maybe play 5 to 8 minutes a night, but if somebody gets hurt, I could be your secondary playmaker for a couple, 2-3 weeks. I think he would serve a tremendous value to the team in that type of role. But we'll just have to see, you know, who else makes an offer for Spencer and what kind of team he wants to go to. I know Chris Paul said yesterday the reason he chose the Spurs is he just wants to play.
Right,
he could go be a member of and ring chase and maybe play a smaller role. But, I mean, being able to play, even if it's at a decreased level from where you are, I think is still something that's very important for the guys that truly love the game. Okay, Kawhi Leonard's not going to play in the upcoming Paris Olympics.
I wonder if that came down from ownership with the Clippers.
I mean, if I were the Clippers, I would have said, dude, what the hell? Like, you don't play for us. Now you're going to go play for Team USA. What are you
Big
doing?
Big contract he signed and all that.
And extension, now the statement Paul George says is gone.
The decision was influenced by the Clippers and Team USA officials after observing training camp in Las Vegas the last couple of days.
Yeah, he probably is not moving around very well.
Well, he had a huge brace on his knee that I mean, he was walking in there already with stuff with it concerning injury-wise. So to me, it was just, he shouldn't have even shown up.
Another, you know, just kind of sad career turn, kind of like Brandon Roy, where the guy was at the top of the league, even higher than Brandon Roy got to, because You know, Kawhi Leonard was a two-time champion, and what he did with Toronto was incredible.
It was.
And then shortly after that, you know, the injuries start to pile up, and he has not been able to get back. I mean, last couple of months ago against the Mavs, the Clippers were better with him not even playing. So, you know, kind of disappointing as a basketball fan to see, you know, Kawhi get to this point where officials are watching it being like, we can't let this guy go. And your team doesn't want to because they're trying to harvest whatever kind of value they still can. Zach Edey, the favorite for NBA Rookie of the Year, put up a double-double. 7'4" out of Purdue was the 9th overall pick. I think it just says there's not a ton of high-end star power, at least so far, at this stage in their development for this draft class. Okay, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. And coming up next, we have the G-Bag of the Day at 2:30. We're going to get some more hoop, though, in the form of a rim session. Isn't that right, Woolchuck?
Yeah, let's do it. Who's the replacement for Kawhi on Team USA? Why Clay is wearing number 31? And should all NBA players be able to spin a ball on their finger? That's next on The Fan.
Welcome back, Nation. It's now 1-1. Netherlands and England. Harry Kane, PK?
Yep, Harry Kane buried a penalty.
This segment of the Nation brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. G-Bag of the Day is coming up 2:30. England has not won a major tournament since 1966. Netherlands is in a down cycle for star players. You know, they just have solid players, but it's been a major disappointing generation for Netherlands. So a lot on the line here. And in the 22nd minute, they're knotted at one. This has been back-to-back days with the incredible soccer theater for us.
It has.
Here's Woolchuck with your rim session.
All right, let's go ahead and cut the lights out, put the kids to bed, and let's go all the way around the rim. All right, we just talked about Kawhi. He's out for the Paris Olympics. He is leaving Team USA. Derek White is his replacement. So now we've got several Boston Celtics. We've got Derek White joining his teammates Drew Holiday and Jason Tatum now on the Team USA roster. They do have a match against Canada, and Kevin Durant will not be playing in that. He told reporters that he wants to play next week in Abu Dhabi, the team's next stop as it prepares for the Olympics in Paris. He said that he hurt his calf about 10 days before camp started. So apparently he's doing all the things necessary in practice, but it's very precautionary. And I would be terrified if I were Kevin Durant, because we know last time he dealt with the calf issue, he ends up just popping that Achilles with Golden State. And that was absolutely disgusting. I mean, you could see that thing through the skin just go ahead and pop on him. It was oof. So I'd be nervous. I mean, I don't know how much we'll see Kevin Durant during this tournament, but I think that they're kind of saving him until the actual Olympic matches start and not so much for these exhibitions, which makes a lot of sense. And then we did get the news on Jontay Porter. Jontay Porter has pled guilty in the case tied to NBA betting.
He's the gambling man, right?
Yep.
He was throwing games he was in for prop bets.
Yes. So
I'd see a future of him and Tim Donahue doing podcasts together.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So he's pled guilty to conspiracy to commit wire fraud in a federal criminal case tied to that betting scandal that got him banned from the league earlier this year. Former Raptors center entered the plea at his arraignment in a New York federal court. Was set to be released on a bail of $250,000. He is now potentially going to face 41 to 51 months of imprisonment and total fines that go up to $456,000. Not worth it, Jontay. Not worth it.
Is that for wire fraud?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Bad deal for him. And then we did mention during Crosstalk, NBA has finalized their TV rights deals with ESPN, NBC, and Amazon. So TNT, Warner Brothers, can still match this. If TNT doesn't match, this upcoming season will be the final season for Inside the NBA. Under the new deal, though, there's now going to be a nationally televised game nearly every day of the week, as they've got this deal with NBC, Amazon Prime. ESPN will continue to have the finals, as it'll be an extension for 11 seasons worth $76 billion for the NBA. A lot of money. And, I mean, what were you mentioning, Brian? Like, man, maybe Cuban shouldn't have sold.
I kind of feel like that maybe Mark Cuban's sitting somewhere going, oh, damn, what was I thinking?
Gosh darn it.
I read another one wrong.
Should have held this for another couple years.
I didn't keep my powder dry.
Hey, Adelson family, you sure I can't get more of this cut? What's going on here? We were asked during crosstalk by Fred Davis, who's doing an excellent job, one of our newest teammates here at 105.3 The Fan.
That was funny the other day, by
the way. It
was
hilarious. Well, because, I mean, we got Fred
Dawson hadn't met him yet, right?
No, and Fred got hired, I think, during your vacation.
Yeah.
So we're over there at Moxie's, and Gavin's like, "What? Who is this guy?"
But then Fred's voice came across. Dawson looked at his eyes, got as big as those dish sauces.
I'm surprised nobody clipped it off the webcam.
Oh, it's so funny.
Because I was surprised.
You're
was
looking
like,
at us, and I'm thinking, like, dang it, I'm blanking on what I was listening to him over the weekend. I'm like, it's Fred what? Fred Davis. That's what it was. Thank God for Ruben.
Great broadcast name.
Yeah. It absolutely is. And I think he sounds a little bit like our old buddy Lane Lewis. Shout out to Lane if he's listening. But he asked us about Klay Thompson wearing number 31. Klay did answer that yesterday if you missed it. And it is the Reggie Miller nod. He chose it to honor Reggie Miller, another all-time great shooter who wore 31 for the Pacers. And they brought up Jason Terry as well. He's like, hell yeah, I love Jet. I'm going to try and bring another championship just like Jet did the last time he was wearing 31. So Klay Thompson's embracing all the Mavs legacy here, and he's all about getting one for the thumb. Let's get that fifth title here, Klay.
Man, that'd be an awkward fit. You know, I'd probably work on the other hand, to be honest with you, Wolchuk.
You want to just go ahead and flip it over?
Yeah.
Just wear the four. You don't put one on the thumb.
That's not practical once it's gone thumb.
I don't know that it would fit very well either.
Yeah, exactly. I need all my thumb dexterity.
You do. Yeah. Now, this was a hilarious video that Team USA posted. And, I mean, it's one that I probably could have sent over to Carter for the fan cam, but it's so visual, I don't think it really played for radio. But they had all the Team USA members. They asked, like, hey, can you spin a ball on your finger? And, like, Drew Holiday's a master at this.
Yeah.
But there's
most of them are except one guy.
There's one guy that can't do it.
One guy. And you would not believe the one guy.
Shocking. Who do you think it could be, Gavin?
Steph Curry.
It's Steph Curry. It's Steph
what?
Curry.
He can't. Yeah, he can't
Steph
spin the
Curry
ball.
Is the only one who cannot go ahead and spin the ball on his finger. He admitted
spent all of his time shooting in the driveway.
Yeah, he said there's a lot I can do with a basketball, but that's one I've just never been able to master.
I think it supports my sometimes controversial theory that Steph Curry is actually not that great of a ball handler.
I mean, if you can't spin it on your finger, are you?
They say a similar thing in soccer. Like it's rare to find anybody resembling a great player that can't juggle.
But I will say, I don't like Devin Booker, but he was doing really cool things. I mean, he was doing like the soccer moves, like he's bouncing it off his knee and back onto his finger. Like he's got
strong.
He's got some skill. Devin
he would
Booker
fit
does.
Right in here with the pregame that the Mavs
with
did.
Luka. Yeah. I know it's weird because like maybe actually Devin Booker and Luka would be the best of friends, but they hate each other on the court. And I'm here for it. I'm here for all that drama.
Great theater.
And finally, we do have the cover athletes for NBA 2K25.
Okay,
it's going to be Jason Tatum, NBA champion. He will be on the cover of its standard edition. And then you will also get Las Vegas Aces center, best player in the WNBA, Asia Wilson. She's going to be on the WNBA's edition.
Wow. Phil Foden nutmegs the goalkeeper, but Netherlands defender is back to stop it on the line.
On the line.
Still 1-1.
Oh, my gosh. This drama is
a cheeky finish between the wickets.
I love it. And then you'll have Tatum and Wilson. They're going to share cover honors for NBA 2K25's All-Star edition of the game. Vince Carter has a Hall of Fame edition, and that looks badass. Half of it's gold, and then half of it's him in his Raptors jersey. It's really sick, Vince Carter.
Nice, dude. Big Vince Carter fan.
I like Vince Carter, too, yeah.
It was an enchanted time there in the early 2000s, him going back and forth with AI and Paul Pierce and stuff. The East Finals were great.
Really sick.
I used to have to get audio for ESPN in the locker room. He was one of the better guys sitting in his locker
room. They were sending you in there to get audio?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that's, you know, like the funniest thing was we'd all gather around Dirk and he would talk. And then Mark Stein would walk away with him and get the real story.
Mm-hmm.
We'd all be like, okay, whatever Mark produces, we're going to hear from that.
Yeah. It is time now with one eye on the TV and the other looking forward to tonight's Rangers game. 8 o'clock pregame as they go for the sweep and a sixth win in a row. We go into the Pimp Cup. Here's Lucius with your G-Bag of the Day.
Slip, slide, trying to provide. Hey, brothers, those ragoons.
Sir.
Chef's kiss, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate
Chef's
that.
Chef's kiss, man.
So the air fryer revived him, huh? The
air fryer, bring it back to life.
There you go.
Air fryer is Dr. Frankenstein.
It's alive!
It's alive!
Yeah.
right.
Good deal. Glad you liked him.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you. Let's see here. Okay, our winner right here is a man that just moved into a neighborhood, and he has a nosy neighbor with a whole lot of rules. Oh, boy.
The new neighbor, isn't it?
Yeah, hi.
Yeah,
now,
hi.
Let me tell you the way you should behave in this neighborhood. I'm 35 years here in this neighborhood, and I can't have any changes, time. Right? Rule one.
Sorry.
You can't have guests more than 3 people at one time. Only 3, and quiet.
Quiet.
Okay?
You're this is my house.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is your house, but your house is in my neighborhood.
My neighborhood.
And I live here for 35 years, and I'm not going to have all kinds of people coming to this place to change the rules.
Yeah.
You can't.
Can't.
Another thing, you cannot have sex with anybody here because I can hear everything. Right. If you're having sex with any woman, I can hear it, and I will come and knock on your door.
Okay.
Brian's out.
What? How
and no barbecue in the garden.
Hello?
No barbecue in the garden. No party.
Well, excuse me. What house do you live in again?
Yeah.
Just next door to you.
Okay.
And I can see
everything. And from my window, I can see everything you do.
Okay.
I even have like, I can look and I can see everything you do.
I can look, I can see everything.
Man.
I've had great neighbor luck over the years.
Can we get our deposit back? Or are we just going to give it up?
I think he closed.
I think that real estate agent said, ha-ha, thank you very much. Cha-ching, I'm out of here. I've been trying to sell this place for years.
All right, let's see here. Boom. Give me that, George. Come on, George. Quit playing with it. Let it go.
Ooh.
Off the woodwork.
Cleveland Guardians play-by-play broadcaster. His name is Matt Underwood.
Matt's a...
Let's hear what happened. Detroit Tigers' Javier Baez was hit with a pitch.
Yep.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And listen to this broadcaster, brother.
Javier Baez, he got hit. I'll tell you what, Salem's just all over the place. Baez chirping. Look, Javi, you're hitting way under 200. Nobody's hitting you on purpose.
Wow.
It wasn't even a fastball. It's a breaking ball. Well, he hung his last one. That one gets away from him. There's no way he's trying to hit him. You can see Hedgie tell it's a slider. It's a slider.
It's a slider. I love that it's Hedgie, too, behind the plate. Nobody's trying to hit you on purpose.
Nobody's trying to hit you, bro.
Our guest tomorrow on the pregame show, Javi Baez.
Yes.
What'd you say?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see what else I got for you boys.
That was a good one, by the way.
I might be trolling with this a little bit, but Jim Rome he had a banger, boy. I tell you what.
This is Jim Rome with an Odyssey Sports Minute. Not as if I haven't asked this question before, but here we go again. Yo, Dallas, how you living? Seriously, yight? Because if you're a Cowboy fan and your answer is, Rome, I'm terrible. Oh, I totally get it. The Cowboys simply cannot stop going full Cowboys this offseason. This might be the most Cowboys the Cowboys have ever been in the offseason. I'm Jim Rome.
Bro, that's a gift. That's a gift. To say a whole lot of nothing is a gift.
Where was he going?
He made
it
sound pretty good.
Yeah, he sure did.
That's why.
I don't know. I've been thinking about where he was going for the better part of the last 40 minutes.
$20 million year guy right there.
Like an old clip.
But it's always raining Cowboy stores.
Yeah.
So you can always do that's evergreen right there.
Yeah.
It's always raining our kind of stories here as Cowboys.
Watch me give this one up, clones.
Oh, my God, dude. I heard
for
that.
A cowboy one.
This is Jim Rome with an Odyssey Sports Minute. Not as if I haven't asked this question before, but here we go again. Yo, Dallas, how you living? Seriously, yike.
I'm going to walk in next time to Odyssey and go, I think I'm better than this Rome guy on the radio.
God.
Somehow he sounds cooler.
That's so brilliant, bro.
Got to be like 60 now. Still sound like a punk surf kid.
What are you doing? Yeah, like, what you got against 6-year-old guys? Yeah.
I'm just saying. He's got it going
cowboy,
on.
Cowboy cowboy thing ever, huh? Am I right?
Am I right?
Cowboys. Ow, clones. Wow, man.
I mean, for the first week of March during free agency, boom, that hits, right?
Yeah.
Haven't done anything again. They're going conservative with the cap. Like 4 months later, it's just a little weird.
Right?
Slow news day, I guess.
Jim is hilarious,
he
bro.
Is. He is that, hilarious.
That is an art to say absolutely nothing but say everything at the same time. That is a true art, man.
Yeah, I owe Jim a lot.
That's why he makes a big
I owe Jim a lot.
Dawson.
Great guy.
We all do as a company.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we got right here. Okay, how about this girl? She crashed out.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Glad she got fired from her security job.
Uh-oh.
And her being back up at work would be like trespassing.
Mike grab here?
She grabbed, yeah.
Mike
she grabbed
grab.
The CB.
Yeah.
She grabbed the CB, so we can't hear like the intercom vibes because it's on everybody's CB as they're out there doing their security jobs. Oh, but she went to the main motherboard, jumped on there, and went offed.
Dear all prosecutor workers, let's get into how Candace her way to the top. I leave you a funky ass bitch. You need to go back home, ho. Jules ain't here, but let me tell you something. You ain't got a backbone either, bitch. Lucinda, you stand in your car. You ain't here either, but bitch, they gonna tell you what the fuck I said because I don't like your ass either. Mm-hmm. You a fucking yes man. Brimmin' Choge ass. Lucinda talk about you like a fucking dog, but being your mother face, you too, Candace, you strong nose, witch nose ass bitch. Mm-hmm. I don't like none of you hoes. Oh, God. And all you bitches are shaky. Yes, trespass that, ho.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crashing out, bro.
Yeah.
It's crashing out.
I wonder why they had to let her go.
Oh, my God. So, can you tell us about your last job here?
Any references that we have?
Yeah.
No. How'd your exit interview go?
You got a space here in 2024. You'd have no employment history.
Yeah, how weird is that, huh?
Is it the old lady patrolling her neighborhood? Is it Javier Baez hit by pitch? Jim Rome on the Cowboys.
Killing it.
Or the former security gal.
Killing it, bro. Show me your ways, Jim.
I'm going to go with the play-by-play guy who called out Javier Baez for, you know, hitting as bad as Adolis was before last night. Lucius?
Jim Rome.
Bullchuck?
I'm trolling.
Oh, this is tough. I think I'm going to go with the champ.
You're still tied to one, Brian.
It's Rome.
By a score of two. To one.
Absolutely Rome.
Oh, and it's your new G-Bag of the Day champion, Jim Rome.
Who wants that to win?
For summing up the Cowboys offseason in 30 seconds.
He did it better than I ever could.
Any actual news content.
Yeah. He did it in less than 30 seconds. It's supposed to be 30 seconds. My man did it in 25.
Do-do-do. We got to run. It's time now for Krusty's Corner. Where are you taking it?
I'm going to say a lot about nothing about the Cowboys. We'll do that next.
Man, I love some of this old Metallica.
Yeah.
Just gets me going, dude. NFL News Today is coming up at 3 o'clock here. The Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's Broadus.
Yes, thank you, General. Thank you to Reliant as well for being a part of this. I want to also thank Isaiah Cooper, who's out there listening to us. Isaiah is calling me out and tagging me with digs about, you know, what I'm talking about, you know, that I don't think Diggs works hard and all that stuff like that. I'm just kind of telling you what people are saying about the rehab. I hope
passing along the info.
I hope Diggs is ready, by the way. Yeah, and they show him running in the sand and all that stuff like that. I hope he's ready. They're going to need him.
Yeah, they're absolutely going to need him. There's a big question mark of that depth.
Diggs does not need to be standing over by us while we're watching practice. He needs to be out there practicing.
Getting after it.
He needs to. Him, Mozzie Smith, Luke Schoonmaker, all those guys. Everyone. But again, thank you, Isaiah Cooper, for tagging me in with Diggs and saying, you know, hey, I don't think he's ready.
Here's 15 seconds to tell the story of his entire last 11 months.
I think Isaiah Cooper likes to do that. He did the same thing when I mentioned that about Micah, and then the rest of the world also started talking about Micah.
Like this. Yeah.
So,
well, I know. It's just,
we got a lot of watchdogs out there. All we're doing is passing along information.
I am all for the watchdog. You know, I don't think I ever said I didn't think he would work hard. I just said there are some questions about some of the things that they've done.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's, hey, making progress, but we'll see. That was what I was told. And I worked over there 14 years, Isaiah. So just letting you know. Anyway, I got some questions for my guys, too.
Fire away.
I got some questions.
Let's do it.
I got some questions. because we're getting close to camp. I'm excited about camp.
Oh, it's the best time of year.
I know when you guys, I mean, we go out there as a station. I'm looking forward to seeing who our show is, too, with our player show. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully be able to get that up.
Maybe Zach Martin.
Do we run it back with Zach?
I think Zach Martin.
Is the gob coming back?
I heard Zach liked being with us. Like, he liked being on the show. So I was positive because, man, you're kind of thinking with offensive linemen. Like, Joe Looney. We did the Joe Looney show. Joey is so much fun.
Yeah, he was great.
And then, Zach, and you're kind of thinking, oh, man, is this going to be good?
He was.
He was good every week.
Well, our babies were born just days apart, and he was in the same NICU I was, just down the hallway.
Same name.
Yeah.
And we got the same name. Like it. Yeah.
Two peas in a pod over here.
I had concerns about Zach, though, to be honest. I mean, he's always so businesslike, and he's kind of a grump, you know, when you're...
He told some really good stories.
Yeah, he did. We just showed a different part of his personality that we usually don't see.
He sure did. And I can say you always worry about that because you want the player to have fun.
Yeah.
You want him to be enjoying being on with you.
Yeah.
And so, it's a big chore, but he was great, and we'll see how that all plays out. We'll be out there at camp before you know it. Zach...
Yes.
If Trey Lance is not good enough, would you not carry a third quarterback?
Yeah, if he's not good enough, the issue is I think I would.
Just for roster manipulation and stuff, maybe you're going to have to carry another position.
Because of how much now I value the draft, it would be so hard to just do that because I spent a fourth round pick on him. But if he's no good, he's going to be gone after this year anyway. So ultimately, if there was another player that was on the chopping block that I really felt could help our team, I would move on, yeah.
How about you there?
Lost a lot of confidence in this. By the way, he was throwing the ball at OTAs and minicamp. The fact he did not get on the field last year, I'm already heading in that direction. I just wonder the logistics of it. I guess the roster bonus and the base salary is going to compound on you pretty good. They're biting a pretty good bullet. I hope that, they can figure out a way to get some good play out of him here in the preseason to revive my confidence in him.
Yeah. I'm sure I'm going to get a text or something here from somebody telling me, well, he's the third quarterback, no matter what kind of a thing. But, if you start to think about roster spots, if they try and go long at, they try and go long at running back, they're going to try and go long at wide receiver. They might try and go long at tight end. You only got so many spots. So, if you're just carrying a third quarterback, just to be carrying a third quarterback,
it's not a very good use of the roster spots.
Well,
they've just gone
with Cooper Rush.
Yeah, but now
you got the emergency quarterback.
You got the emergency one, but you could keep him on the practice squad and elevate him and do stuff like that, I believe. They have certain elevations.
I guess there you're just opening it up for a risk of somebody else to pluck him off the practice squad.
I think he has to be on the 53 for you to use him as the emergency quarterback.
Okay.
So, but you got, like I say, you've got Hunter Lipke, you've got some position. You've got some guys that are like extra players that you might want to keep.
Offensive linemen.
Yeah. Be a really good example of that for sure. All right. Gavin.
Yeah.
Marquise Bell was a linebacker last year for you. He had to play out of necessity as a linebacker. Is Marquise Bell good enough to be a starting safety for you on this team?
Considering how safety play went last year, I think I would be most excited about Marquise Bell stepping in there.
Yeah, I tell you what, how about you, Wooly Boy?
I think he could end up being a better player than Donovan Wilson, personally. Because I think that he probably has a little bit more coverage ability. Now, that's something we haven't really gotten to see, because he's been not playing safety, he's been playing linebacker. But to me, he would have been a perfect replacement if Dan Quinn was still here to slide into that Jaron Curse role. Now, Mike Zimmer, I don't know that he's going to be running quite the same system, obviously.
Right.
But I do think Marquise Bell certainly has the ability to be a starting player at safety.
Yeah, the thing with I look at Bell, and the only thing keeping me from thinking that he might be a starting safety opposite, say, if it's Hooker, or maybe he takes Hooker's job. The only thing keeping me from saying with definite yes is I need to see him cover.
Yeah.
I mean, how much have we seen him play coverage? I've seen Wanye Thomas play coverage, and I think he's competing. I think Wilson, Thomas, Bell, I think all those guys are competing for a spot as the starter. And I just, if you told me that I could see Bell play coverage and show range and, you know, maybe match up against, he's a shorter guy. I don't know how much you want him covering tight ends and things like that. But his toughness, his smarts, the things that
he showed instincts too.
He showed a lot of instincts too. The one thing we've always talked about with Mike Zimmer is Zimmer's going to play smart guys. And Malik Hooker, I was so glad Malik Hooker came out and talked about that about with Mike Zimmer. You know, you mess up once, okay. Mess up twice, you're going to be standing over there next to him.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something I know about Mike, and I've said that a bunch.
What do you think Mike will think about Donovan Wilson's game?
I think he'll probably like Donovan Wilson's ability to hit.
He's just such a downhill player.
Downhill player, but I don't think he has great instincts.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets lost in coverage and the angles that he takes. And I was really excited about Donovan Wilson.
Me too.
Yeah. But I think some of the reasons of why he slid to the sixth round out of A&M, they've now started to materialize here later in his career.
Yeah, if you go back and watch the Arizona game, some of those plays that you had to make in the alley, you know, the read option stuff that they were dealing with, that he took some, and I don't think there's times where you see everybody else moving and you see him stationary.
He gets stuck.
And so, you know, Mike is going to play guys that have instinct, that know, okay, I football intelligence and move when they're supposed to move. So I think there's going to be some competition there at that safety position. All right, Gavin.
Yeah, buddy.
Are you more worried about the run game or the passing game, say CeeDee Lamb doesn't sign?
I'm much more worried about the run game. Tragic last year. I think Tony Pollard fell off. I think it's, you know, a situation where a great running back could make it respectable, but they don't have anything close to that. You need a really tremendous rookie year from your two offensive linemen in order to make this halfway decent. Mm-hmm. I think their run game will probably be bottom five in the league, and I think their passing game will probably still be top 10.
Without Lamb?
Well, without a Lamb signing, he's still going to be on the roster, right? He's not going to hold out all year. He just might be frustrated is the way I took that question.
Yeah. I think if he were not to sign.
Oh, so he's off the team?
He's off the – if he were not to sign.
Ooh. If he does hold out.
Yeah.
If he says, hey, I'm just not showing up.
Yeah.
I think they'd still outperform the running game with their passing game. Ferguson and Cooks would figure out a way to get enough done.
Yeah, I still would lean with the running game because of Ferguson and Cooks, even though you're in a whale of trouble there. I mean, this team ends up looking like I think you're going to end up in the top 10 of the draft, personally, if that's the case. I am confident that I think Guyton and Beebe, or even a Hoffman, I think their strengths are going to be run blocking. So I think there is a chance that your run blocking line is better than it was last year.
Yep.
That's what they're going to have to bank on, because right now that running back room leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah, you know, Pro Football Focus, I mean, they're not the end-all be-all for analysis. There's some things they do really, really well, but they ranked you as the 32nd best running back room in the league.
Wow.
Is what they did. I mean, you are dead balls last.
You don't have a true RB1.
Yeah.
I mean, and with all due respect to Zeke, he's just not that at this stage of his career.
You'll get a runner. You'll get a good offensive line. But I think the most important thing is that the coaching staff evolves. You know, and they need to pay attention to San Francisco that lacks a great offensive line. Yes, they have McCaffrey, but it's the play design that allowed them to have a lot of success even before McCaffrey.
I think they'll run the ball better if they figure out the tight end situation. I think that really hurt them last year. I think this offensive line could be good. If their point of attack blocking with their tight ends is not good, they will find...
Can anybody other than Scooney do that?
Brevin Spanford, the Minnesota kid.
That's the thing that you're going to have to hope for, that somebody out of this group... Scooney, it was... I've scouted a lot of players in my day, and I really thought he was going to step in and immediately be plug and play as a run blocking guy.
Too hurt.
He wasn't even close to where he was at Michigan. And you know, if you could get a Spanford or you could get Schoonmaker and those guys, and then allow Ferguson just to be more of that guy that just catches passes, then they'll find a way to be better at the running game. But until then, man, I do have my questions about them running the ball. Especially with the group of guys that they have right now.
Right on. There he is, Krusty's Corner, every afternoon, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. NFL News of the Day coming up next. Wolchuk, what do you got?
Trash talk, sports bars, and could this player be an upgrade for the Cowboys? That's next.
Man, I love some of this old Metallica.
Yeah.
Just gets me going, dude. NFL News of the Day is coming up at 3 o'clock here. The Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's Broadus.
Yes, thank you, General. Thank you to Reliant as well for being a part of this. I want to also thank Isaiah Cooper, who's out there listening to us. Isaiah is calling me out and tagging me with Diggs about, you know, what I'm talking about, you know, that I don't think Diggs works hard and all that stuff like that. I'm just kind of telling you what people are saying about the rehab. I hope
passing along the info.
I hope Diggs is ready, by the way. Yeah, and they show him running in the sand and all that stuff like that. I hope he's ready. They're going to need him.
Yeah, they're absolutely going to need him. There's a big question mark of that depth.
Diggs does not need to be standing over by us while we're watching practice. He needs to be out there practicing.
Getting after it.
He needs to. Him, Mozzie Smith, Luke Schoonmaker, all those guys. Everyone. But again, thank you, Isaiah Cooper, for tagging me in with Diggs and saying, you know, hey, I don't think he's ready.
Here's 15 seconds to tell the story of his entire last 11 months.
I think Isaiah Cooper likes to do that. He did the same thing when I mentioned that about Micah. And then the rest of the world also started talking about Micah.
Like this. Yeah.
So,
well, I know.
We got a lot of watchdogs out there. All we're doing is passing along information.
I am all for the watchdog. You know, I don't think I ever said I didn't think he would work hard. I just said there are some questions about some of the things that they've done.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's making progress, but we'll see. That was what I was told. I worked over there 14 years, Isaiah. So just letting you know. Anyway, I got some questions for my guys, too.
Fire away.
I got some questions.
Let's do it.
I got some questions. Because, you know, we're getting close to camp. I'm excited about camp.
Oh, it's the best time of year.
I know when you guys, I mean, we go out there as a station. I'm looking forward to seeing who our show is, too, with our player show. You know?
Oh, yeah.
You
know,
oh, yeah.
Hopefully be able to get that up.
Maybe Zach Martin?
Do we run it What's back with Zach?
I think Zach Martin.
Is the gob coming back?
I heard Zach liked being with us. Like he liked being on the show. So I was positive because, man, you're kind of thinking with offensive linemen like Joe Looney. We did the Joe Looney show.
Joe Looney.
Joe is so much fun.
Yeah, he was great.
And then you know Zach, and you're kind of thinking, oh, man, is this going to be good?
He was
good every week.
Well, our babies were born just days apart, and he was in the same NICU I was, just down the hallway.
Same name.
Yeah,
and we got the same name. Like it.
Yeah.
Two peas in a pod over here.
I had concerns about Zach, though, to be honest. I mean, he's always so businesslike, and he's kind of a grump, you know, when you're...
He told some really good stories.
Yeah, he did, we just showed a different part of his personality that we usually don't see.
He sure did, and I can say you always worry about that because you want the player to have fun. You want him to be enjoying being on with you.
Yeah.
And so, it's a big chore, but I mean, he was great, and we'll see how that all plays out. We'll be out there at camp before you know it. Zach...
Yes.
If Trey Lance is not good enough, would you not carry a third quarterback?
Yeah, if he's not good enough, the issue is I think I would.
Just for roster manipulation and stuff, maybe you're going to have to carry another position.
Because of how much now I value the draft, it would be so hard to just do that because I spent a fourth round pick on him. But if he's no good, he's going to be gone after this year anyway. So ultimately, if there was another player that was on the chopping block that I really felt could help our team, I would move on, yeah.
How about you there?
Lost a lot of confidence in this. By the way, he was throwing the ball at OTAs and minicamp. The fact he did not get on the field last year, I'm already heading in that direction. I just wonder the logistics of it. I guess the roster bonus and the base salary is going to compound on you pretty good. They're biting a pretty good bullet. I hope that, you know, they can figure out a way to get some good play out of him here in the preseason to revive my confidence in him.
Yeah. I'm sure I'm going to get a text or something here from somebody telling me, well, he's the third quarterback, no matter what kind of a thing. But, you know, if you start to think about roster spots, you know, if they try and go long at, you know, they try and go long at running back, they're going to try and go long at wide receiver. They might try and go long at tight end. You know, you only got so many spots. So, you know, if you're just carrying a third quarterback, just to be carrying a third quarterback, you know, I don't like I say, I
it's
would
not be, a very good use of the roster spots.
Well, if
that's it, why in the past they've gone away from
yeah, they've
it.
Just yeah. gone with Cooper Rush.
Yeah, but you know,
but now you got the emergency quarterback.
You got the emergency one, but you could keep him on the practice squad right. and elevate him and do stuff like that. Yeah. I believe you know. I mean, they have certain yes. elevations.
I guess there you're just opening it up for a risk of somebody else to plug.
I
him
think
off
he
the
has to
squad.
Be. I take it back. I think he has to be on the 53 for you to use him as the emergency quarterback.
Okay.
So you know, but you got like I say, you've got Hunter Lipke. You've got some position. You've got some guys that are like extra players that you might want to keep.
Offensive linemen.
Offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Be a really good example of that for sure. All right. Gavin.
Yeah.
Marquise Bell was a linebacker last year for you. He had to play out of necessity as a linebacker. Is Marquise Bell good enough to be a starting safety for you on this team?
Yeah, considering how safety play went last year, I think I would be most excited about Marquise Bell stepping in there.
Yeah, I tell you what, how about you, Wooly Boy?
I think he could end up being a better player than Donovan Wilson, personally, because I think that he probably has a little bit more coverage ability. Now, that's something we haven't really gotten to see because he's been not playing safety, he's been playing linebacker. But to me, he would have been a perfect replacement if Dan Quinn was still here to slide into that Jaron Curse role. Now, Mike Zimmer, I don't know that he's going to be running quite the same system, obviously.
Right.
But I do think Marquise Bell certainly has the ability to be a starting player at safety.
Yeah, the thing with I look at Bell, and the only thing keeping me from thinking that he might be a starting safety opposite, say, if it's Hooker or, you know, maybe he takes Hooker's job. The only thing keeping me from saying with definite yes is I need to see him cover.
Yeah.
I mean, how much have we seen him play coverage? I've seen Wanye Thomas play coverage, you know, and I think he's competing. I think Wilson, Thomas, Bell, I think all those guys are competing for a spot as the starter. And I just, if you told me that I could see Bell play coverage and show range and, you know, maybe match up against, he's a shorter guy. I don't know how much you want him covering tight ends and things like that. But his toughness, his smarts, the things that he
showed instincts too.
He showed a lot of instincts too. The one thing we've always talked about with Mike Zimmer is Zimmer's going to play smart guys. And Malik Hooker, I was so glad Malik Hooker came out and talked about that about with Mike Zimmer. You know, you mess up once, okay. Mess up twice, you're going to be standing over there next to him.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something I know about Mike, and I've said that a bunch.
What do you think Mike will think about Donovan Wilson's game?
I think he'll probably like Donovan Wilson's ability to hit.
He's just such a downhill player.
He's a downhill player, but I don't think he has great instincts.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets lost in coverage and the angles that he takes. And I was really excited about Donovan Wilson.
Me too.
But I think some of the reasons of why he slid to the sixth round out of A&M, they've now started to materialize here later in his career.
Yeah, if you go back and watch the Arizona game, some of those plays that you had to make in the alley, you know, the read option stuff that they were dealing with, that he took some, and I don't think there's times where you see everybody else moving and you see him stationary.
He gets stuck.
And so, you know, Mike is going to play guys that have instinct, that know, okay, I football intelligence and move when they're supposed to move. So I think there's going to be some competition there at that safety position. All right, Gavin.
Yeah, buddy.
Are you more worried about the run game or the passing game, say CeeDee Lamb doesn't sign?
I'm much more worried about the run game. Tragic last year. I think Tony Pollard fell off. I think it's, you know, a situation where a great running back could make it respectable, but they don't have anything close to that. You need a really tremendous rookie year from your two offensive linemen in order to make this halfway decent. Mm-hmm. I think their run game will probably be bottom five in the league, and I think their passing game will probably still be top 10.
Without Lamb?
Well, without a Lamb signing, he's still going to be on the roster, right? He's not going to hold out all year. He just might be frustrated is the way I took that question.
Yeah. I think if he were not to sign.
Oh, if so he's off the team?
He's off the – if he were not to sign.
Ooh. If he does hold out.
Yeah.
If he says, hey, I'm just not showing up.
Yeah.
I think they'd still outperform the running game with their passing game. Ferguson and Cooks would figure out a way to get enough done.
Yeah, I still would lean with the running game because of Ferguson and Cooks, even though you're in a whale of trouble there. I mean, this team ends up looking like I think you're going to end up in the top 10 of the draft, personally, if that's the case. I am confident that I think Guyton and Beebe, or even a Hoffman, I think their strengths are going to be run blocking. So I think there is a chance that your run blocking line is better than it was last year.
Yep.
That's what they're going to have to bank on, because right now that running back room leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah, you know, Pro Football Focus, I mean, they're not the end-all be-all for analysis. There's some things they do really, really well, but they ranked you as the 32nd best running back room in the league.
Wow.
Is what they did. I mean, you are dead balls last.
You don't have a true RB1.
Yeah.
I mean, and with all due respect to Zeke, he's just not that at this stage of his career.
You'll get a runner, you'll get a good offensive line, but I think the most important thing is that the coaching staff evolves, you know, and they need to pay attention to San Francisco that lacks a great offensive line. Yes, they have McCaffrey, but it's the play design that allowed them to have a lot of success even before McCaffrey.
I think they'll run the ball better if they figure out the tight end situation. I think that really hurt them last year. I think this offensive line could be good. If their point of attack blocking with their tight ends is not good, they will find...
Can anybody other than Scooney do that?
Brevin Spanford, yeah, the Minnesota kid.
That's the thing that you're going to have to hope for, that somebody out of this group... Scooney, it was... I've scouted a lot of players in my day, and I really thought he was going to step in and immediately be plug and play as a run blocking guy.
Too hurt.
He wasn't even close to where he was at Michigan. And you know, if you could get a Span Ford or you could get Schoonmaker and those guys, and then allow Ferguson just to be more of that guy that just catches passes, then they'll find a way to be better at the running game. But until then, man, I do have my questions about them running the ball. Especially with the group of guys that they have right now.
Right on. There he is, Krusty's Corner, every afternoon, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. NFL News of the Day coming up next. Wolchuk, what do you got?
Trash Talk, Sports Bars, and could this player be an upgrade for the Cowboys? That's next.